Hey, I'm Victoria.
Hi, I'm Cheryl.
And we are going to be talking on our regular podcast about epilepsy, brain tumours, how weird stuff in your brain affects your behaviour and your lifestyle. Before you listen, we do have to warn you that we will be talking about sensitive subjects here. There will be some chatter between two mates just having a talk about our lives, and some people may find this offensive or sensitive. And we do also have to warn you that there may be some offensive language. Cheryl, my lovely friend, has a mouth like a navvy. Don't you, Cheryl?
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
So, Cheryl, we're going to be just having our normal matey chat about our lives and living with epilepsy and tumours and brain damage and how it affects us, aren't we?
We are indeed.
So this week is That's your turn. Plan. Carry on.
Cheers. Okay, so obviously I know about the fact that you have a brain tumor, you have a broken brain like me. But I'm interested in to find out how old you were when you were told that you had one, and how did it lead up to you finding out? What sort of prompted all of this and the diagnosis? How did it come about?
Okay, so thanks for bringing my age into it.
I didn't say how old you were, you took it.
How old was you? It was...
Well, I think you looked 21, so you could get away with saying that, to be honest.
See, I knew there was a reason you're my friend. It's because we can't see. So I think I was 46. I think it was 46. And I didn't know. I knew that I'd get tired really easily and just as normal, actually, people that are my age group and working long hours and blah, blah. And I'd been walking up the road. I was chatting to a friend on the phone and I started talking weird. And I knew I was talking weird. I knew there was something wrong with my speech, but I couldn't put it right. And I got to the house. And I said to her, I'm going now, I'm home. So she said, where are you? And I said, I'm home, at my hotel. And I knew I was wrong, but I couldn't make myself right. So I put the phone down on her. I got in and I made myself a cup of tea. And I tried to text her. Oh, I don't drink tea, by the way, I drink coffee. And I tried to text her to say, I'm really sorry, I am all right. I'll message you back in a little while. And I sent about five text messages that I'd still got, and they were just letters, jumbled up letters. And she phoned me and she shouted down the phone at me, send me your daughter's number, send it now. And I've no idea how I managed to do it, but I sent her one of my daughter's phone number, and she phoned her up and said, look, you don't know me and I don't know you. She'd been a work colleague from somewhere else in the country. And she said, but I'm a friend of your mum's and there's something wrong with her. You've got to get to her. So the upshot was another friend took me to hospital, and I thought I had a water infection. To be honest, I thought it was nothing more than that. And I had another funny turn when I was in the hospital, and this time it frightened me. They took me for an MRI. No, they didn't. They took me for a CT scan to begin with. My friend that was with me phoned both of my grown-up daughters, you know the girls, phoned them both, and they came. And by 1 o'clock that morning, they told us, in the middle of the night morning, they told us that there was something in my head, in my brain. And they didn't know if it was breast cancer, they didn't know if it was throat cancer, but they knew that there was something in my head that wasn't supposed to be there. MRI scan the following morning, and they told us pretty much straight away I had a brain tumour.
Oh, wow.
That's nearly what we said.
No, I can't imagine that it was that tame, to be honest.
No.
But did they sort of give you any more information about whereabouts in the brain it was and the size of it or anything like that?
Well, type of tumour that I had, after they'd examined it and my neurosurgeon had a look at it and they called me back, they said that my tumour is called a meningioma, which is a slow-growing, benign tumour. So it wasn't cancerous, but it had been there for quite a long time. Average age of a meningioma is about 8 years. As I recall, mine was 13, and it was because I moved a lot with work. So where I'd get tired, I'd get a lot of ear infections, I'd get a lot of headaches. We just put it down to I was always on a plane. I was in some places just 2 weeks, and so I'd just fly from one country to the next working. And just put it down to that, to be honest. Because of the age of mine, it needed to be removed pretty easily or pretty quickly. So I had my surgery 6 weeks later.
Oh, wow. Quite quick, isn't it?
Mm.
Quite a lot to take in such a short amount of time.
Really. Yeah. A lot of people that have a meningioma, mm-hmm. because it's a slow growing and it's a benign, depending on where it is in the brain, it would be left to grow, not just left and ignored, but left and monitored, because a lot of times brain surgery is really, really invasive, and let's face it, nobody wants a hole drilled in their brain. It's not comfortable, and it takes a long time to recover. I'm actually saying that I'm not sure that you ever do actually recover from brain surgery. Not totally.
You have to, when you have brain surgery, that you have to stay awake, because they have to test your, I think it's your reflexes and your response and everything like that. Did you have to stay awake?
No, I did not. That said, I do know other people that have had brain surgery that have stayed awake during their surgeries. And two of them in particular, for exactly that reason. One, because she was a musician, and she didn't want to lose her musical talent. So that's how they knew that she was still with it. And the other one, I'm sure he was an athlete. He was a rising athlete. And yeah, he stayed awake during his surgery as well. It is incredible what they can do. And it is something that they'll be, I imagine in time, they'll be looking at doing it more. But no, I think even if I'd have been given the option, I'd have been too frightened. I'm a bit scaredy cat, really.
I think most people would be too scared, to be honest with you.
I don't know.
It's funny, being told you've got to have brain surgery and stay awake for it, I think anyone would.
Would you?
Yeah, I've seen it on Holby City, you know. That's the closest I'm ever going to get to staying awake during, you know, brain surgery. No thanks.
Yeah, but no, would you? If they said to you, with your epilepsy, if they said to you, right, we've got a surgery for you, but we want you to stay awake while we poke around in your brain, what would you say?
To be honest, I would say that I'd tell them to F off. But if it meant not having the epilepsy, then I don't know. I wouldn't beg them to do it, but I'd possibly say yes, because it could take away a load of the inconveniences that come about with having epilepsy. And, you know, if it meant that they would, you know, those inconveniences would go, then yeah, I mean, I would, potentially. I say that now because, you know, I haven't been offered brain surgery and have been told, you know, do you want to stay awake? I haven't been offered. So yeah, of course I'd do it. I'll be sticking on my big girl pants. But in reality is very different, isn't it?
I'd love to see you sitting in big girl pants, I'm not going to lie.
I wear big girl pants every day. You should see my knickers on the washing line. They're massive. Just to ask that, you said that you still have those text messages. Do you ever look at them?
Yeah.
How do you feel when you look at them?
Horrible, actually. Yeah. It is horrible, because it's that thing, isn't it, where you can't you can't throw something away because it's almost like it's precious. But you don't want to look at it because it is a horrible, horrible memory. And I can't get rid of them. I suppose if the old phone, actually, I think they're on Google Messages somewhere. So even if I did want to delete them, I wouldn't know how to start. But yeah, every now and again, if I've had a few days of bad seizures and I'm really, really feeling sorry for myself, then yes, I will dig them out and I will look at them as a reminder as to how life has changed.
Yeah, how all this started and actually how far you've come, even though you have the seizures. You know, the good stuff that's happened then, you know, you've had the brain surgery, you've had the tumour removed. You know, positive things have come since then, I suppose, looking at those messages.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you kept them. I think that's really good.
Do you?
I don't want to see them.
I'll dig them out one day and I'll show you them.
Can you imagine if I put them into Google Translate, what would it come back with?
It would be something from Mars. You know those spaceships that's up on Mars at the minute? That's where it would be from.
Or it'll just turn around and say, Google Translate says, no.
Right.
You'll have to show me one time. I'm intrigued by them, so you'll have to show me.
I will. Yeah. So we've talked about my brain tumour and my surgery. What about you? Because you didn't have epilepsy from a very young age, did you? Just a young age?
Yeah, just a young age, I would say. I had my first seizure when I was 9. And I didn't have my second one until I was 12, which was the one that they diagnosed me with. That's the one when they started doing all the tests and, you know, the MRIs and CTs and everything. And that's when they diagnosed it. So it was quite a difficult, I mean, anyone being diagnosed with epilepsy, there's never a good time for it, is there, to be honest.
No.
But it was just before, it was in the April that I had it, and I was starting secondary school in the September. So it was a really difficult time starting secondary school, because obviously there's still the investigations going on, there's getting the right medication and the right dosage. And it was really, it was really surreal. But yeah,
how did you know it was a seizure? What happened?
Well, with the first one, you're going to laugh at this, I know, but I was walking to Sunday school.
It's a good job this isn't being videoed, because the face I'm pulling to not laugh is not attractive.
No, it's not attractive at all. But to be honest, I was walking to my second session at Sunday school, to be honest. So I don't know if that was a message from, you know, somewhere saying, no, you're not really fit for Sunday school. We don't want you there. So I walked there by myself. It was a 10-minute walk and we lived in a lovely area. So I walked there by myself and I had to pass the entrance to an alleyway. And I was found there, unconscious. But the person who called the ambulance didn't stay with me. So when the paramedics arrived, there was no one there to tell them what they may have seen. They've literally come along, seeing that I'm on the floor unconscious, called the ambulance, and they've walked away for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe they had an appointment to get to or something like that. I'm just really grateful they actually called the ambulance. The ambulance crew came, and because I was crying so much and asking for my dad, they actually took me home instead of the hospital. And they basically said to my dad, if she complains of a headache or throws up, get her down to A&E. Which they hadn't been gone 5 minutes and I threw up everywhere. And so my dad took me to the hospital, and I don't really remember it, to be honest. I remember up to the point that I threw up, but I don't remember actually being at the hospital. or what they did, to be honest. And then the second one, when I was 12, that was in the school playground. And I was in the playground, having just got to school. It's when we were waiting to go in to start the school day. And I was playing tag with some of my friends, and then I got the aura, and lost control of my arms and fell to the floor, smacked my head on one of those marble drinking fountains.
Ooh.
I had a lovely bump on my head, and got taken to hospital, and then I remember being in hospital then, and then having all the tests then. I can't remember what your original question was.
I think the question was, how did you find out? I tell you what, we have now talked a lot about, and we haven't used that much bad language.
I know. I think I've only sworn like 3 times. I'm on really good behaviour here.
I think you're not feeling very well.
Yeah, I'm tired. That's what it is.
I know we've covered just general chatter, really. If anybody wanted to message in, drop us a message, then they can do. Any questions anybody's got? We'd be happy to answer any questions, wouldn't we, Cheryl?
Oh, of course we would.
Yeah. So if anybody's got any questions about where they are on their brain tumour journey or their epilepsy journey, pop a question over. If there's anything that you'd like me and Cheryl to talk about, again, pop a question over. You can find us on Facebook on BrainSet, BRAINSET. You can also find us on Instagram, BrainSet_. You can find us on Twitter, @BrainSet1, and you can find us on, I think that's it actually. So from a work point of view, this is where you can find us. Ping us over any messages. Just if you love our chat, if you don't love our chat, please bear in mind we are both very, very new to this. We've got no training. We're just two mates having a chat about our brain tumour and epilepsy journey. So everything is very, very new to us, including for me living with this. And I have to say, Cheryl, I've only met you since we met at a slimming group, let's say.
That would have been January 2020.
But it was only through that slimming group that we met, and then we found out that we each have seizures, you with epilepsy, me with my broken brain stuff. And before I knew about that, I didn't know anybody else that had seizures or epilepsy the way I did. I was so grateful to meet somebody that might have some idea, some tiny little inkling of how crap I might feel on one day.
Yeah. So it's someone who can relate to it. It's like a sisterhood, isn't it? It's someone who can relate to how you're feeling, and someone you can offload to.
Yeah.
It's someone who understands, because you can try and explain to people how you feel, but really there isn't a word to describe it. There isn't a word to do it justice. You can try and describe it, but it doesn't compare to how it actually is. So it is really good to meet someone who understands.
Yeah. Before we sign off, Cheryl, I just want to end up on one thing. I get some quite strong auras with mine, don't I? Like, and we almost call them like warnings. And my warnings are, make sure I've washed the dishes, and make sure knickers on. I don't know why.
And have you got nice knickers on?
That doesn't matter, as long as they're clean. But you don't always get an aura, do you?
No, I used to. And then when I had our son in 2017, after that, I didn't get warnings. I don't really get warnings anymore, which, don't get me wrong, the warnings are horrible. They're not pleasant at all, but at least I found them helpful to be able to get onto the floor and away from corners or anything like that before I started having my convulsions. But now I usually don't get them anymore. So I could literally be, I've had them on the stairs, you know, and not been able to get to a safe place because I don't know that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's scary. It makes it even more scary, but you just got to get on with it.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have the auras and I'd lose control of my arms and then my legs would go and I would have probably got to the floor by then so I didn't fall. But now it doesn't really happen. But usually since then, someone's always been with me when it's happened, thankfully.
Let's sign off for tonight. And like I said earlier, if anybody's got anything that they'd like us to have a chat about, just drop us a message. If anybody's got any questions for either myself or Cheryl, please ping us a message over and we'll be very happy to answer most of your questions, obviously. Most
talk to us.
Yes, come and talk to us,
guys.
Thanks very much for listening. And thanks, Cheryl. It's been lovely, as always, to chat to my mate. And we'll speak to you listeners again very soon. Take it easy.
Take care, guys.